There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth.
Okay, good morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, and I'm here for the next 2 hours, and we're going to talk today with a pastor from Arkansas, Tony Alamo, talk about that evil Bill Clinton, what he tried to do to him. And this piggybacks a story that I did with John Peeler, a former FBI agent who was assigned to bring down Tony Alamo and basically bring down a good man. And we're going to get into this story in depth today on the Investigative Journal. Do want to recap yesterday's story. We had on Frank O'Collins from wrote a book called The Almanac of Evil. And wow, what a book. I got a lot of good responses on that, and a lot of people were telling me that it put it into perspective, the why of the New World Order that many people do not address in the mainstream and the alternative media. That's why we are called here the alternative to the alternative media, because we go just a little bit deeper. We just go down to the bottom of it and say, listen, folks, this is why they're doing it, and this is why they've been doing this since the beginning of time. It's nothing new. It's just taking a different shape and form. And one thing that O'Collins said yesterday, when you start questioning whether the Vatican is involved with the takeover of our country, just ask one question. They either stand for good or they stand for evil. And then ask yourself, why are they backing the illegal immigration in our country? Why are they not exposing and excommunicating Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini? And why are they backing Bush behind the scenes when he is taking away all of our civil rights? You would think an organization that stands for good would stand up against these things, but they're not. They're standing, and you know what? You only have one other conclusion to make then. And you know, you want to give them a chance. You want to give them a chance to change, like Frank O'Collins said. But I'll tell you what, you first must identify them and then decide exactly what they are doing. So we'll have Frank O'Collins back on Monday again, next Monday. And I did want to update the Leo Zagami story that I've been covering, and we're going to have Leo on next week also. The story involves a man who came forward in Europe. He's from an Italian aristocratic background who said that, there are many, many different things going on in the secret societies. He was a high-level member of the Monte Carlo P2 Lodge and talked about how many people there were talking about 9/11 prior to 9/11, and we gave names and things to people to watch. And I'll tell you, that's a great story because Leo's telling things about how the secret societies operate in Europe, in America, how Freemasonry intermingles with the Jesuit order and all these evil people like the Bushes and the Skull and Bone Society, and how all this ties together. And he's not just talking from conjecture. He's talking from inside information because he was a member and he was assigned the task to do many of these evil things. And he's now come forward telling you exactly why he left and how they persecuted him and what you're in store for if you don't wake up. He said categorically, these imperialists, these people over there, think of you as nothing but a slave. And they want you to be a slave of the empire, and you already are. But it's going to even get worse because they're going to put you away if you don't start fighting back. And that's the real key to this, and that's why you have to put together why they are doing this, not only the things that go on that you see, all the wrongs. You have to figure out why they're doing it, and perhaps you can stop it then. Perhaps people then will wake up in mass and really help out a lot of people that are being persecuted in this country already. We're going to be back with my guest right after this short break on the Investigative Journal.
Washington, till peace has come. Okay, we're back
for our first segment on the Investigative Journal. And I just wanted to mention this one program note before I get to my guest, Pastor Tony Alamo, that we're listened to in over 25 countries, and many people in America don't realize how the message of is getting out through the alternative media with radio stations like RBN and others. And it's a very important outlet because, as we know, the mass media has kept these stories from you and will continue to do so until you're sitting in a concentration camp without any chance to read anything. So listen to what I'm going to tell you when we listen to Tony Alamo, because this isn't something new. This happened, this started years ago when they tried to persecute him, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But I have to read one story, one email from Danny Moore in Canada, who writes regarding this show and the Arctic Beacon, my website. I have been reading your material lately, Greg. It is very good. I admire everything that you have been doing in exposing filth and corruption. Excellent investigative journalism. I have read Vatican Assassins three times, and folks, that's the book by Eric John Phelps, who's been on my show many times. With what I know, I should be standing on rooftops telling people about this book, as well as your material, to name a few, but I'm not, because I'm a wimp. We have an honest man here. Thank God for people like you, he says, and others who speak the truth. As a Canadian, I'm proud of you Americans. You are really one of a kind. Well, anyway, maybe we can get Danny off of his butt and get him out there talking, because I don't really think he's a wimp. I think he's just feeling a little guilty. But there are many people out there that feel the same way. Don't be afraid to stand up for your rights. And you're going to see why, because if you don't, they're going to be taken away. My guest is Tony Alamo. His name came across my desk years ago, and it came across from a CNN article that ripped him apart. And they did this all through America during the 90s when he was arrested. And he's nothing of that sort. And I learned that through an FBI agent named John Peeler, who's been on my show, who actually apologized to Tony after he was told to really take him out. Amazing. Tony's written a little story here. I'm going to read this on his website. It's called Conspiracy, so you get to know this man a little bit. And then we're going to get into his story. And he says this: the word conspiracy in Black's Law Dictionary means a combination or confederacy between two or more persons formed for the purpose of committing, by their joint efforts, some unlawful or criminal act. Webster's Dictionary defines it as an act conspiring a combination of men for an evil purpose, an agreement between two or more persons to commit a crime in concert as treason, a plot, an agreement manifesting itself in words or deeds by which two or more persons confederate to do an unlawful act. The conspiracy to overthrow the freedom of religion in the United States is probably coming from subversive judges, prosecutors, and others who have joined themselves into a group called the Cult Awareness Network. During World War II, the Cult Awareness Network, known as the Ministry of Cults in Germany, accused the Jews, of all people, of being a cult. The Jews, who through their Holy Spirit wrote the Old Testament and New Testaments of the Bible. Today, the Cult Awareness Network calls any church or religion a cult that refuses to join the United Council of Churches, sometimes called the One World Church, International, National, or World Council of Churches, all headed by the Vatican. The offices of Cult Awareness Network can be found in Rome and the Catholic Archdiocese throughout the United States. And this story goes on Tony's website called AlamoMinistries.com. Pastor Alamo, how are you today?
Real good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I wanted to read that because I think it explains, exactly who's at the center of the Vatican of controlling the religions in the United States. And we're going to get into your story, but what do you think about that statement I just made?
Well, it's a biblical. The Bible states that the Antichrist is powered by Satan, and Satan's seat is in the city of the Seven Mountains, and the city of the Seven Mountains happens to be Rome. Anybody would try to buy a ticket from a travel agency, and just all you have to do is ask for a ticket to the city of the Seven Mountains, and you're going to get a ticket to Rome. And right. So there's only one major religion there, and that happens to be Catholicism. And we found out that through investigation and all the persecutions that we've had, and also I have some people that are in the Vatican that tell me things, and they let me know it isn't as though it's somebody, from from down the street. It's people that are in the Vatican, and then also many people that have been in the Vatican and have received salvation since.
So you've had some inside sources there telling you about what they're up to, really, correct?
That, and also I'm very close. I never even bothered Jesus until one day I had a supernatural experience with him, and I've had many of them since. And the Lord tells me these things. And then after you read the Bible, it tells you right in the Bible. So to me, the Bible and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that is in me and counsels me all the time, tells me all these things. I've written many pieces of literature, one called The Pope's Secrets, another one, The Fugitive Pope, because he was a war criminal. I mean, it's now after 42 and a half years of being saved and being a pastor for most of those years, an assistant pastor, I've really many people have told me that I'm the one that kicked the hole in the wall and they're coming through now. So all kinds of other people are knowing these things. It's for sure, yes, I do have inside knowledge in the Vatican, and people that were in the Vatican that got out, and then also primarily, more than that, people ask me, you know, Jack Chick asked me if I had been in the Vatican before or was a Catholic, and I told him no. I get that from the Lord because he wanted to know. They were, he and Alberto Rivera were wondering that because of the Pope's secrets that I had written. And
yeah,
I said, no.
Did you know Alberto Rivera, Father Alberto Rivera?
Oh, yeah, I know him very well. I know his son today, and I know his wife, and I know all about him. And he's been, he lived at my house for quite a while.
Oh, that's really, he lived at your house, so you know him well. Because I had Nuri Rivera, his wife, on Monday, and talked about, yeah, and she was very open about this, his story, about verifying everything he said was true. But again, since you know him well, and there's been many, every time I talk about him or bring his story up, I always get emails that are contradicting him and try to put him down. What is your, can you verify what he says about the infiltrations of the Catholic Church by the Catholic Church, the Jesuit order, into religions such as yours, others, or, I mean, ministries such as yours, and others in our country? Was he telling the truth, is what I'm getting at?
Oh, yes, he really was. It was amazing because he himself was in the Vatican, and he was right next to the Pope. And he has all kinds of, he's dead now. I mean, he visited me while I was in prison for the gospel's sake. They put me in prison on false IRS charges. I guess John Peeler told me that.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later, but I want to get in depth on your story because it shows how they tried to persecute you.
Didn't try. They've been doing it ever since I've been saved. You know, it's just that it isn't a situation of them trying. They're doing it to this very day. We are going to not be counted with the fearful and unbelieving, but we're going to stand up and tell people what's going on. So many people are trying to transfer it that it's the Jews that are the ones that are trying to take over the world, but it was Cardinal Spellman that went into San Francisco with a lot of the world leaders, and he along with them, are the ones. The Vatican started the UN chapter, it was the, they're the ones that started the United Nations.
You get Spellman and the Vatican starting the United Nations. You said, they love to spread hatred of all Jews to deflect any kind of criticism towards them. And that was a
propaganda.
Good statement. Yeah.
Propaganda-wise, what they did is they keep trying to make it look like it's the Jews or the commies. The commies and all these different things they say that are doing the evil in the world are nothing more than smokescreens to smokescreen that, and all the things you see today, like the bombing of the United Nations, the destruction. They planted bombs all the way through that. I'm sure you know all these things. And,
it's good that the listener here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've heard hundreds of witnesses that were there at the federal building, John P., that they saw them bringing explosives in there. There's all kinds of witnesses that state that they were bringing explosives into the World Trade Center. And all kinds of witnesses state that they went to kill David Koresh, not to, they call it a turkey shoot.
Right.
There's so much of this conspiracy. Actually, the Vatican has come out of the closet. Satan has come out of the closet, and it's just amazing to me that the people in the world, the whole world, can't see that. I know that we're getting thousands upon thousands of letters stating that their eyes are open now, and they ask them what to do about it.
Oh, the dogs! Something came at the door here, so I hope you. they woke me up. Yeah, they liked your message there. But anyway, we'll get them outside in a minute here. But we're going into a break anyway. Tony, Pastor Alamo, do you want to be called Pastor Alamo? Is that fine?
Well, you just call me. Yeah, that's fine. Or Tony, it doesn't make any difference to me. I'm just a called servant of the Lord. That's all. A human.
See. One question, as the dogs quiet down here. One question, we're going to get to this afterwards. You said you were saved 42 years ago, and the persecution has been going on. I want to ask you, why do you think this message has, your message has been silenced? How have people been kept from the truth? We'll get to that right after this break on the Investigative Journal. Pastor Tony Alamo talking about how he's been persecuted for over the years for trying to get this message out of Vatican involvement in the New World Order. Tony, how do you think, and from your eyes, how have they been able to keep this message from the people?
It hasn't been. I mean, I've put out over 200 million pieces of literature about the Pope's secrets alone, Los Angeles alone, and we probably put out another 300 million throughout the rest of the world. On worldwide radio, we're in over 200 countries. We have distributed my literature in all the different countries, in China, everywhere in the world. And what the reason that they're trying to distract people with all these different bombings and all that sort of stuff is to get people's minds on the violence, on different terrorism and all that, because they want their mind off of the gospel. That's mm-hmm. why they're at that. That's why they're after me so much, is because we really have the gospel. I mean, I'm Jewish. And I'm a born-again Jew. And they, for years, the minute I got saved, well, before I was saved, I was a top promoter. I did the promotion for Sonny and Cher. I was the first one with the multiple hits, national, worldwide hits, 20 original hits. And
but you knew Sonny and Cher real well. You promoted their work, huh?
Yeah, I knew Sonny. Sonny and I had an office together with H.P. Barnum and Jack Nitzsche, who did a lot of the stuff for the Rolling Stones, Bobby Sox of Blue Jeans, and all those people. And I'm out of the record industry and the motion picture industry.
Okay.
And everybody loved me until I got saved. And
mm-hmm.
persecution happened. We've been in, got headlines in all the major newspapers for years. But then there was a woman from Channel 5 in Fort Smith that came to me and told me, Tony, if you tell this to anybody else, I'm going to call you a liar. I said, what? And she said, you promise not to tell? And I said, yeah. But this was years ago, she said, the federal government's going around to all the radio stations and saying, you're too hot for them. What you want to do now, they said, is if you, the radio stations, say anything good or bad about Tony Alamo, we're going to take your FCC license away from you. You're going to be shut down. Well, my brother was a radio, had a radio talk show in Nashville, and he just kept doing interviews with me.
And what were you saying back then, Tony? Tell us what you were saying that caused the FCC to come down.
I was saying Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again. I'm a born-again Jew filled with the Holy Spirit, and I am coming to you from the living God. I didn't believe in God and Jesus, but the Lord saved my soul. And the people that are doing all this persecution is the Vatican, because the Vatican hates anyone that's preaching the gospel. And a lot of people are getting involved into this. I'm not in it for the money. I own a Beatles album that's worth over $15 million. And I've never sold it to prove to people that I'm not being saved or doing this for money. I don't sell anything. All the literature I have, I give away. I give away Bibles. We give them away to the tens of thousands, and we send them all over the world. And I won't take any money for anything. And so I'm real. Yeah, the Lord really saved my soul. I didn't believe in God and Jesus, but a supernatural experience happened to me in the office. And anybody that's in it for the money doesn't want to hear my message. And, but I do tell people where it's coming from. I expose the government. The government inside our government, which is the Vatican government, we're living under Roman canon law.
Right.
Yeah. And
you say, this in one of your articles. Let me just read this sentence. You say, but Catholic and allied Catholic judges and prosecutors, as well as all Catholic and allied Catholic one world religion government officials, from the President of the United States on down, realized that when they were appointed to their high positions in the United States government, that playing ball with the Vatican would be a part of the deal for their position, prestige, and power. That's a statement that gets right down to it, and that's why they persecuted you way back then, right, Tony?
Yeah, that's by exposing them, brought them out of the closet. But the thing that they're really after me for is because of the gospel, because I'm winning hundreds of thousands, even millions of souls to the Lord. We are the largest soul-winning organization in the whole world. And I call it an organization because it's the Lord's organization. I did not organize it at all. And that's why they hate us, is because in order to preach the gospel, you have to preach against the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is Rome, the one world government, and the media. The major media. I'm not talking about you and I. We're media also. But we're collecting a lot of new listeners.
Yes, we are. Well, listen, Pastor Alamo, let me take a short break. We'll come back, and we'll get into your story in depth after this short message.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Pastor Tony Alamo. And Pastor Alamo, before we get into your story, can you tell us how we can get in touch with you, where people can read articles like the one I'm paraphrasing here, Conspiracy and Others, on your website?
Yes. LamoMinistries.com is one good way to get a hold of us. And we have phone numbers, too, over at the area code 870-653-3857.
And where are you based out of now?
Well, I'm in Los Angeles right now. We've had a church here for the past 40 years, 13 Sierra Highway. We have services every evening in all of our churches all over the world. at 8 o'clock every evening, and then on Sunday, 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. We serve meals after each service, so the hungry can come there every night or in the afternoon. They can come there during the day too if they're hungry or if they need clothing or anything like that. We preach the gospel, and then we teach people all the things that you're doing, exposing the Antichrist government and cult in Rome, and the media, well, the media at large I'm talking about. Then, so that's what we do.
Yeah, and you have an Arkansas connection too, right? Or you did have a ministry?
Yeah, we have a church in Portsmouth, Arkansas, and one in Falk, Arkansas. We have a church in Elizabeth, New Jersey. We've got several hundred distributors of my literature in the United States and thousands of them all over the world, Africa, India, Philippines, Greece, China, Japan, everywhere.
Yeah, and tell us about your radio show. I know you have a show yourself, and tell us where you broadcast and what your listenership is like. Go ahead.
Well, we broadcast everywhere in the world. We're on Radio Africa. In Africa and in India, they primarily listen to shortwave, but we're on a lot of AM and FM stations. People, if they contact us, we will send them a radio schedule. I'm not even familiar with the different time zone of the air because we're on so many different stations. And we're in Los Angeles on two different stations, we're on some stations that hit the whole United States, and then I don't know how many people listen to shortwave, but we're getting a lot of responses. Our email machines never stop from getting emails all day long. We have two or three people just taking emails off from the response from the radio programs.
And what time do you go on every day?
It's all different times all over the world, and I'm not. Well, like I said, we would be glad to. Do we have one of those radio flyers here? Yeah, I could have my wife get on to read some of the times if you'd like. She's got a radio flyer.
Yeah, we can do that in a moment. Let's hold that for a minute, and then we'll get into that maybe at the end of the show. But I wanted to get into. Let's start off with your life. I mean, this is an amazing story. You were saved. What was that supernatural event that occurred?
Well, I was doing a promotion. I did the promotion. I didn't share. The whole Democratic Party wanted me to do the promo for the president and for the, not just him, but the whole Democratic Party. Ted Chirac is one of those main ones that's still alive that asked me to do that, along with Majority and Walter Winchell and the whole Democratic Party. And I was... Your question is how I got saved. I was doing a promotion at this time from Bobby Jameson. He's a kid, and I was in the office. My attorney and his wife, they wanted me to go to another attorney in Beverly Hills because they wanted to, along with Shirley MacLaine and others, Robert Mitchum, they wanted to invest in the thing, and I didn't want to, this whole promo. Because it was on my label, and I did all the promotion on it. But I went there, and while I was there, to make a long story short, my ears shut off. And I didn't believe in God and Jesus. As a matter of fact, there's a cross here in Hollywood, a cross from the Hollywood Bowl. And I wanted to
add that. Said,
So I wanted to have it tore down because it was offensive to me, and the Bible says that the cross is an offense because it reminded me of a graveyard, you know. And when I'd go out to Hollywood at night for a good time, I'd see that cross up there, and I thought, you know, this is very offensive to me. Okay. But after I got saved, I really had to be. I'm sitting in this office, my ears shut off, and I can't hear traffic or anything. And I had six motorcycle police with me because they were part of the hype that I was doing in Hollywood, and I had an entourage of 17 people that followed us around. My ears shut off, and all of a sudden I started hearing in my body or inside my body better than I ever did in my ears. And the voice said, I am the Lord thy God. Stand upon your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And so I figured, well, I'm going crazy, so I'm going to check myself into a private mental institution, because I know Don Gibson, and he went to Camarillo, and he got out, and nobody thinks evil of him. He's the one that wrote, Oh, Lonesome Me, and I Can't Stop Loving You, and things like that. So I said, I'm going to get out of here. So I tried to push myself up from the seat, and this power that came was coming down at the same time on me wouldn't let me get up. And then it said again, Doubt not, I am the Lord thy God. Stand upon your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ, or thou shalt surely die. And my brain opened up then, the understanding, and I knew there was a heaven and a hell. And I tell you before, I never believed that at all. And then I says, I don't know whether, if this is God, then there's got to be a devil, and I don't know which one this is. I mean, why would God mix religion with business here?
Right.
And
you,
and especially me, because I was really a person, a hellraiser, you know, and so I tried to push myself up, and what I did, my spirit started going in and out of me real fast, like somebody was playing with my soul like a yo-yo, and my heart started beating real fast, and I thought it was beating out of my chest almost. And I says, all right, you know, I was saying it silently to him because I knew he knew everything that
while
I was.
While you're thinking you're going crazy.
Yeah, I really thought I was.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I says, God's telling me to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again, okay? First I was arguing with the Lord. They're going to think I'm nuts, and you know, these people won't believe me anyway. You don't know them like I do. Let me call. I'll call them in the morning. I'll call these guys, the attorney and my two attorneys, and the movie stars, and I'll send them cables or something. He started pulling the breath out of me and made me do it right then, because I'm Jewish. You know, I don't believe in Jesus or God, and not even God. I would, because I never was raised Jewish, and all of a sudden this happened. And so finally I said, okay, God's telling me to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again. Okay, and I thought everybody's going to flip out, but they didn't. And they just looked at me like they're watching TV or something. And then the Lord came down and says, you are a top promoter. You promoted the American Health Studio, still a wet figure for him. I was the executive vice president of the world's largest health studio chain. And he says, and you did, hi there, this is the record king with the most fantastic record offer of all time. 20 smash hits on one big album for only X amount of money. And I had Earl McDaniel, the top disc jockey here in Los Angeles, do the spot for me. And we went on wins and all the major radio stations, and I made millions at that. And then all of a sudden, add more life to your years and more years to your life. Join the American Health Studios, and so I figured for him. So he says, now you did that for them and for Bobby Jameson, the world's next phenomenon. What about me? That's all you're going to do is tell them that, you know, God's telling me to tell you that Jesus Christ came back to earth again. And I says, oh, my God, you know, God's going to kill me. I'm trying to con God, you know.
Right.
And so I says, I'll tell him, but I didn't know the Bible. And so I remember walking into a theater in New York, because I didn't have anything to do for a few minutes years before that. And it was Elmer Gantry, and I heard him say, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, one of these. And I thought, oh, man, fanatic, you know, so I walked out. But I heard him say on the way out, repent, you know. And so that's all I knew, so I started telling everybody in there, repent, because I was afraid. God says, or thou shalt surely die, and I knew I'd go right to hell. I figured I'd see them go to hell, and then I'd go right after them. So I got up, and I just started telling them to repent, get down on your knees. Jesus is coming back to earth again. And everyone started looking afraid at me, you know, and the attorney there was a Jewish attorney. He says, get him out of here. He's Meshigana. Get him out. That means nuts in Hebrew. And so I said, yeah. First I got angry. I said, you the guys who want me to come over here and get associated with me so they could make some money off of me, and now you're saying I'm nuts? Then I thought to myself, yeah, I'd think the same thing if somebody did that in my office. And then the Lord came down and said, that's enough. And so I walked out. I said, thank you, God. And we were only one flight up, and I had this whole entourage. I had a limo. I rented it from the funeral parlor out of McKinley, and also six motorcycle cops who were actually a funeral escort to take this kid that I was promoting around, you know, to hype everybody. We'd run lights with flashers and sirens and everything like we were dignitaries. Then I had a couple of Lincoln Continentals and Cadillacs behind the limo, and I didn't want to get in the car, but Big Jim, who I got a job working for Sonny and Cher as a bodyguard and a driver, after this happened, I just said, I'm quitting the industry. That's it. But so I went around from church to church to try to find out who was telling the truth, and all of them were just preaching God is love, that God never threatens you or anything like that, and I knew that wasn't true. But I read books about, you know, God just wants you to be free, you know, to just be like the birds and bees, have sex anytime you want, do this. I said, that's not God. I could tell he was holy. And incidentally, when his spirit came down that room, I knew he not only knew every hair on my head, but every head, every dog, every cat, every fiber of every carpet, I knew he knew everything. And so this is my testimony, and it's called Dry Bones. I put it out because I was a dry bone, and also Signs of the Time. I've written hundreds of pieces of literature, and I've put out thousands upon thousands of tapes, so it isn't like, you know, I'm some quiet mouse. Even when I was in prison, I was doing messages over the telephone. I was writing them and sending them into my staff, and they would have them printed up and put out into the streets. That's where we've been more successful. It's on the streets, not radio so much, but distributing the literature person right to hand to hand. That's what really wins the souls and has packed our churches out.
So you left the music industry and begin your ministry. Did they start? Well, you didn't begin it, but you began your search. When did you actually begin your ministries?
Okay, before this, I did a promotion for Pete Best of the Beatles. He gave me a Beatles album. I still have that. And okay. I never sold it to prove people that I'm going to. So the ministry, I still, after going through these different churches, the Greek Orthodox, at first I went to the Catholic Church because I thought the biggest must be the best, and I really found out they don't know anything. Not anything about God. So then I went to others, and then I met my late wife, Sue, and she was telling me, do you know that Jesus is coming back to earth again? When she said that, I thought she was my contact on earth. I said, where did you hear that? She said, Tony, it says so all throughout the Bible. And so I said, teach me the Bible. And she did. She started teaching me, and so I thought it was bad that only I was hearing this. So I'd go down to the streets on Hollywood Boulevard, and I'd bring a lot of people up to the the place where she was teaching, and she really wasn't doing that much in the gospel field then, but she saw the enthusiasm in me, and that I was bringing all these souls to her, and so I'd give my testimony, and then she'd preach the gospel to them and get them down on their knees and pray them through, and that's how it started. And then many other people, we weren't married then, but God gave me a vision that we should be married, and her first, and then me after that. She said, Lord, he's too young in the Lord. And he answered back, yes, but he's strong. And with me, so she kept fighting. She said, if you want me to marry him, you tell him also and then make him tell me. And so that's what happened. She told, the Lord gave me a vision of being married to her. Her vision was that we were walking through an arbor, arm in arm. I had on a tuxedo, and she had on a wedding dress, and we were going through this arbor. And it had big red roses with dew dripping off it. And then mine was, I saw myself walking into a room, kneeling down by a couch and kissing her, you know, and it was in full color. And all of a sudden, I I thought, no. So I started pushing myself up. I was sleeping. And I started pushing myself up, and the vision still stayed there while I was wide awake. And all of a sudden, I felt like the Spirit of the Lord in my body, waking my heart up and pouring miles of love in it. Then there was like two golden pipes. One of them was, I said, Lord, no, she's smarter than I am. She knows the Lord, you more than I do. And he said, that's good for your ego. And then all of a sudden, thousands of questions started coming out of my heart going up. And here was a thousands of questions, answers coming back into my heart, giving me the answers of all the things. I didn't even know what questions were. They were coming out of me so fast, and the answers were coming in so fast. And that's how I know. But I know today there isn't anybody that can ask me questions, you know, about the deeper things of the Lord that I don't know. I know what's going on. And I didn't know anything before. I didn't feel qualified to be her husband until that vision of us being married. And then the vision changed from color to black and white. It was just like wrought iron profile of us. My left profile and her right profile, and it was shimmering. It was like white heat.
Pastor Lama, let me stop you there. We have to take a break. We're going to come back for a short segment before the end of the hour. Then we got a whole nother hour because I got to ask some many questions about what happened to you, how they really came down on you, the Clinton administration, through John Peeler, who then basically apologized to you. We're going to get back with your story after this short break. Yes, and there is a short time left in this hour. We're talking to Pastor Alamo. It's gone by quickly. We have another whole hour. We're going to take some calls perhaps in the second hour, too. Let me give out that number, 800-313-9443. And Pastor Alamo, I'm looking at your website, and that's at alamoministries.com. And I see this beautiful church you have in Texarkana, another one in Fort Smith, Arkansas, that I'm looking at, Tony Alamo Christian Church, at 13136 Sierra Highway in Canyon Country. And I think I've passed that church many times because I used to live out there. I lived in Acton, California. You probably know where that's at.
And, that's right next to us.
Right, right. And so I see all these churches, and my mind, I started to think, how could this happen with your background? There must have been something more. The hand of God must have been with you because it's just grown by leaps and bounds. And it's quite a story. Do you ever think about that?
Oh, yeah. The more, well, I can't forget about it. I mean, it was such a supernatural thing, and I didn't believe in God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, heaven or hell. And when that happened to me right out of the blue, and especially to me because I was like the ringleader of, you know, party time and all that sort of stuff. And I think about it all the time. That's what keeps me going through all the persecution. Some people say, well, we're afraid, you know, to speak out. I said, look, once you get the fear of the Lord, you better fear him more than you do the terrorists and the Vatican, because all they are is a bunch of demonic, weak, and beggarly spirits. They're like three frog-like spirits that come out of the mouth of the dragon, which is the devil. But I said, so I fear God so much that I fear not to do what he tells me to do. They've threatened to kill me, like John Peeler told you, that they told him to assassinate me. And because of the fact that he wouldn't, they put his son in prison. And he's still in prison. And I'm doing everything I can in my power. I've got a real good attorney in New York. And he is, I told him, try to get the guy out because he's there for all charges, just like I was railroaded into a federal prison on false IRS charges. So, yeah, immediately after my wife and I got together and we were in, we went to Las Vegas, we got married three different times. God married us, and then we got married two times there. I don't understand why we have to get married when God married us. Why do we have to go to Satan Right. Satan's government to get a license to get married when God already, in these vision, dream visions that we had here, married us. But anyway, she says, well, you know, just to satisfy the laws of the land. I said, you call this the law of the land? This is not the law of the United States of America. This is the Vatican's canon law that has come into this country, and the people that are in the Army, Navy, Marines, all of those, these are not our troops. The Vatican is using our troops to go overseas to dominate all these different countries, so to put them under Roman canon, their power, their one world power, just as right. The book of Daniel says. Okay, and so we got married, and then the Jesus movement happened through us. We were the ones, the only ones that started the Jesus movement. So it happened to be a bunch of hippies. And all the churches didn't want hippies in their church. They didn't wear dirty. They didn't smell good. And they had long hair, the guys. And it was, and I was sort of embarrassed too, but I realized that the Lord said, we have to be, I thought my ministry would be with the movie stars and all these, the movie producers and directors and all that, but it was the hippies, you know? And that was sort of a humbling thing to me because I didn't like them because they defaced Hollywood, you know, which is my favorite town. And they're spraying all the buildings and all this kind of stuff, and they were just sitting around on the boulevard. But anyway, I found out that these are the people that started receiving the truth. They received everything that we said, you know, about the Bible. And they wanted to get saved, and then they said they're living on the streets. And we didn't want to be pastors either, and so, but we took them to other churches, and they didn't want anything to do with them unless they got a haircut and they their clothes, they changed them and all that. Susie said, look, if that's the problems in the world, then all we need is a bunch of barbers, right? And
right.
Get some clothes for them. Susie was very smart, smartest person I ever met in my life. And so we had to open up our own church. We took them into our home at first because we didn't have a church. Our first church they asked us to come and preach the gospel in a dope den. So we went in there, and every single one of them got saved. And they started flushing all their stuff down the toilet, their drugs and their pot and pills and all that. And then we sent them out on the streets to witness and testify with us. And the place got so full that we had to look for another place, and we opened up a church on Crescent Heights. The first one was on Carlos Avenue. It was actually a house where a bunch of dopers were living. Mm-hmm. And then we opened one on Crescent Heights, and it was right near the Sunset Strip, about a half block from it. And we'd go out on the boulevard, and I was arrested several times along with these people here. It was so discouraging to these young dopers that got saved that nobody bothered them while they were on narcotics and drugs. But now when they are saved and trying to get people into the Lord, they started beating them up, throwing them in prison. They did the same thing to me, throwing them in jail. Then we'd have to bail them out. We didn't have any money back then, hardly any. But they went through all those trials and tribulations. Then they said we were a public nuisance. And they started coming against us to close the place down, so we started looking for a place out in the near Acton where you lived. Right there.
Yeah, no, exactly where Canyon Country is, and exactly where that church. So that was your first one then, correct?
Well, no, Carlos Avenue, then over there at Crescent Heights, and then out there at 1336 Sierra Highway.
When I talked to John Peeler, the former FBI agent who was assigned, he said that the orders came down directly from Clinton, and that was to take you down. And he said, boy, he looked everywhere he could, and he found that you were crystal clean, and then he was given the order to assassinate you. He said he couldn't, and he finally left the FBI and started talking about the truth about many other things, Waco, Ruby Ridge, and Oklahoma City, And then they tried to frame him for murder, but they've got his son now in jail for life on a framed murder charge. But
right.
How did they start? What? Tell us about how you were railroaded and what put you in prison.
Well, there had been a lot of Catholics. Two of them were from France that infiltrated into our church. And there were some other people that were, like one was a homosexual. And that's another thing that the Vatican is trying to, and has done a very good job of making everybody believe that homosexuality is all right. But anyway, they were in there, and they started bringing, I guess they were talking to the Internal Revenue Service and saying that I had two sets of books and that I didn't pay taxes and that I was using money for myself instead of, here I'd built several hundred homes for those people and gave them, they were hippies, and we built homes for them. We opened a restaurant in Elma, Arkansas, and then we bought one of the judges there called me up because everybody loved us. We were on television for 10 years, Sue and myself, and we were the number one television program in the country. And we were filming over here in Los Angeles at Channel 13, Channel 9, Channel 5, and then over at Opryland in Nashville. And then we also filmed in one of the churches that we had in Dyer, Arkansas. We built a big, beautiful church there. So anyway, they were saying all these things, and so they had a grand jury indictment against me. First, they tried to say that I wanted to kidnap a judge. They said I had a mile tunnel underneath the ground. They said I was a child abuser. Now they say I have hundreds of wives and that I've got anything they say, you know, people just pick up immediately because people love to hear smut. And none of these things are true, that I've and that I'm a child molester and a pedophile. You name it. I mean, they've as far as the people in the world think, they're trying to kill my testimony because they know that my message is strong and that it's winning millions of souls. And even despite all this, we're still winning souls, and they don't end. They don't say anything good or bad about us on television or anywhere. They used to all the time. They used to do interviews with me all the time.
Say, Pastor Lamo, can you hold that thought? We'll come back and continue right where you left off. We're going to take a short break. Back with Pastor Tony Lamo on the Investigative Journal.